Welcome to the Simple Church Podcast, where we're committed to helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Let's get to today's message.
So we find missionaries to support. We find them lots of different ways. Now, Kirsten, I think I met you. I met Kirsten at a launch event. What launch is, it's almost a week-long training event for pastors that are going to plant and launch a church. That's where we met, right? In Texas, of all places. And so I was there doing the event, and she was there, and we connected, and I just really loved her heart. I loved her mission, and I love what God was sending her to do. And so I'm going to let her share what she's been doing, and we've been supporting her, I want to say, since then, at that time. And so that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. My goodness, 5 years ago. So I'm going to let her come up, share her story, tell you everything about what she's been up to, and the impact of your giving and what it has done in Estonia. So without further ado, please welcome missionary Kirsten Ettinger.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here. I can't tell you, I know you guys a lot better than you know me. And this morning when I drove up, I got so choked up because the last time I came through, you didn't have this building yet. And I've been following you so closely on social media over the years as I've been in Estonia. And so just seeing how much God has been working through Simple Church and how faithful he's been, and just seeing how active Simple Church has been in your community, it's just been such a blessing to come up, to drive up this morning and to see the building and just see how faithful you have been, and just to see how God has blessed the church. And I mean, even just seeing the building, it's getting me choked up right now. It's so special. I hope you, when you drive up to this building, that you are still thankful and you're still overwhelmed when you see this building, and you thank God every time you see this building. I know it's not exactly where you would hope to be by this time as far as the construction of the building and everything, but God's timing is perfect. And each step of the way, he will be faithful to you as you continue to be faithful to him. I have loved over the years seeing how active Simple Church is in the community. You really do understand how important it is to continue to give, to continue to grow in your faith, and how important it is as you continue to grow in your faith, how important it is to continue to give and to sacrifice to God through the people in your community, through the people around you. And even from Estonia, I've loved how easy Simple Church has made it for everybody in the church to be involved in some of those things. Like even in Estonia, some of the online fundraisers, I'm like, hey, you do an Amazon giving list. Like, I'm like, hey, I can participate in this. So like being able to buy candy from the Amazon wish list from Estonia, I'm like, I can do this. So even from so far away, being able to participate in what you guys are doing in your community here has been such a blessing to me, because we know, even in the comfort of our own homes, God has not called us to be comfortable. Even in the comfort of our own homes, never in the history of the Bible has there been a move of God in a situation where people were comfortable. God has always called us to situations where we have to take a step of faith. We have to invest. We have to be uncomfortable. We have to do things that call us out of what we are currently in. We have to take a step of faith to do something that we never would have thought we would be able to do in order for God to do something great. And so this morning, I want to take a look at the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible. And some of you may be familiar with this story. Some of you who may be new believers, you may not be so familiar with this story. So if we could turn together to the book of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, it says, we're going to start with verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, one of the things that I love about this story is, you know, reading this, you have this man, this Jew, who was beat up, he was robbed, and he was left for dead. You have these 2 other men, the priest and the Levite, who walked by. They had to go out of their way to avoid this Jew who was beat up, robbed, left for dead. And yet you have the Samaritan, who traditionally was an enemy to the Jews and the Levites, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They did not like each other at all. And yet it was the Samaritan, when he came across the Jew, that actually took pity on him, took care of him, and saved his life. And there's so many lessons that can be learned out of this, but I wanted to focus this morning on the fact that the Samaritan, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the story does it say the Samaritan had medical skills, medical training. He was limited to what he had with him at the time. So it says he poured some oil on him. It said he poured, you know, he bandaged up the wounds as best that he could, but it doesn't say he had any medical skills. It didn't say he had any training. He was traveling. It wasn't like he could bring the man home to be cared for, but he did what he could with the resources he did have. He did what he could with what he could do. He took the man to an inn. He had some money, so he did what he could. He took the man to the innkeeper and said, "Okay, this is the best that I can do. Do the best that you can do." And the innkeeper did the best that he could do. I have been in missions for about 10 years now. I started off in missions, going serving with Convoy of Hope Europe, Convoy of Hope's Europe team in Brussels, Belgium. I never, ever, 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 ever thought I would be in the ministry. I had dreams of working for the State Department for most of my life. I actually worked for the United States Army for a lot of years. I wasn't in the Army, but I worked for the Department of the Army for a lot of years. I got my master's degree in public policy and national security. I wrote my master's thesis on Russian weapons of mass destruction, arms control policy. Not quite anything related to missions. And then God called me into the ministry, and I had this invitation to work with Convoy of Hope in Europe, and I started working in Belgium, and most of our work was working with church planters across Europe, and I did that for 4 or 5 years, and then I really felt like God was calling me to actually get my ministry credentials, and so I became licensed, and then I became ordained, and at that time, I really felt like God was calling, you know, all of my ministry experience up to that point had been working with, you know, a humanitarian organization and working with other, you know, other people who were doing the church planting. And I just really felt like God was calling me to, you know, what did I know about planting a church? How can I tell all these people how to plant their churches when I've never been a part of a church planting team myself? And that's when I decided to go to the launch training and where I met Pastor Aaron and join a church planting team myself. And when I prayed about, okay, God, where should I go? He opened the door for me to work with a church planting team in Tallinn, Estonia. If you're not sure where Estonia is, it's right next to Russia, just south of Finland. It's this tiny, tiny little country in the Baltics. It's a country of 1.3 million people. And they lived under Soviet occupation for over 50 years. They used to be a part of the Soviet Union. They were never a willing participant in the Soviet Union. They will tell you they were occupied by the Soviet Union. They are a country of introverts. They are very proud of the fact that they are a country of introverts. And after 50 years of living under Soviet occupation, that made their normally introverted culture even more suspicious. So even if you walk outside of your apartment and you see your neighbor and you say, "Hi, how are you doing?" They say, "Why do you want to know how I'm doing? Who are you going to tell how I'm doing?" It is not a very social culture. One of their jokes is, how can you tell an Estonian extrovert from an Estonian introvert? When you're talking to an Estonian introvert, they're staring at their own feet. When you're talking to an Estonian extrovert, they're staring at your feet. And so... in joining a church planting team, it was really exciting to get to try to plant a church in Estonia. And to make things even better, I moved to Estonia less than 2 months before COVID started. So in a normally already suspicious culture that had lived under 50 years of communism, now you add a global pandemic, face masks, and a 2-meter rule, which made ministry look even more different. How do you plant a church in an area where people don't want to talk to you, where nobody wants to talk to you, where everybody is suspicious of everything? How do you build relationships with people who will not even give you the time of day? Even when you're walking your dog and you come across someone else who's walking their dog, they will allow your dog to sniff their dog, and your dogs can say hi to each other, but they will not even acknowledge that you're standing there attached to your dog. I went there thinking, well, I'll meet people through joining a CrossFit group or joining some language clubs or doing this or doing that. And suddenly with COVID, none of that could happen. All of a sudden, the services that we were hoping to have had to be done online. And I was put in charge of our tech team. And I had zero technical experience. That was exciting. And so we had to pray, God, what are we going to do with this? And one day online, I was looking at what Simple Church was doing. And I saw Simple Church was doing gift baskets for medical workers. And I was like, hey, that's a great idea. Why don't we do that? And we started doing gift baskets for medical workers. And then we started doing gift baskets for firefighters and the police department. And I started baking cookies, chocolate chip cookies. And turns out people really liked my chocolate chip cookies. Who knew? It wasn't a special recipe, but we started getting a lot of requests for my chocolate chip cookies. Then, all of a sudden, one day, I was coming into my apartment, and my neighbors were coming out of their apartment, and my neighbors were two little kids that were living with their grandma. And as they were coming out of my apartment, my neighbor's grandson looks over to me and he says, "Your apartment always smells really good." And I said, "Well, it's probably because I'm always baking chocolate chip cookies." And he says, "What are chocolate chip cookies?" And I said, "Well, let me give you some." And so I gave them chocolate chip cookies, which they'd never had before. And suddenly, every time my apartment started smelling really good, I started hearing knocks on my door. And it was my neighbor's grandkids who were coming over to get some chocolate chip cookies. And then it wasn't just my neighbor's grandkids. It was my neighbor's grandkids plus their friends that lived in the building. And suddenly it was my neighbor's grandkids and their friends in the building and their friends that lived in the area. And suddenly they were coming over. And when I would travel, I would bring special candies from different places that I would travel. So they were coming over for my cookies and the candies that I would bring them. And suddenly those would turn into Friday night movie nights. And we would have Friday night movie nights for all of the kids in our apartment building. We would eat pizza and have candy and cookies. And we were working our way through all of the Marvel movies, superhero movies in order. And it was like a free babysitting night for the kids. where their parents could have a couple hours off on Friday nights, give the kids a break from their parents, give the parents a break from their kids. And that turned into, just one thing led to another. And soon I had this whole group of kids. I never would have considered kids ministry. Who would have thought? Nothing that I would have ever planned. And yet one thing led to another, led to another. The firefighters. I got a pass from the fire chief that I could come and go from the fire station anytime I pleased, as long as I was bringing chocolate chip cookies. One day I was sitting in my office, in my apartment, my home office. I was on an online meeting, and I got a text from a friend that lived in the building, and she says, "You need to go outside right now." And I said, "I can't. I'm in this meeting." And she's like, "No, you really need to go outside right now." And I said, "I really can't. I'm in this online meeting with my boss." And she says, "No, Kirsten, you really need to go outside right now." And I said, "Fine." I turned the camera off from my meeting. I went outside. It was my birthday. The firefighters had brought me a bouquet of flowers by fire truck. And the big fire truck with all the lights going and everything, all of the kids in the neighborhood were out. They thought it was the coolest thing ever, and they thought it was the coolest thing ever that the firefighters were coming to see me. Gave me so many extra bonus points with the kids in the neighborhood. But that was how it all started. It all started through chocolate chip cookies. All of the plans that I had had for making connections with people in our community, none of that had panned out. All of the plans that, all of the skills and assets that I thought I had had, none of that had panned out in moving to Estonia. And through that experience, I learned that we can't limit God to the gifts, assets, and qualifications that we think we have. The Good Samaritan didn't have medical skills. He was traveling. He couldn't bring the man home to be cared for, but he did what he could with the resources he had. In Estonia, I did what I could with the resources I had. I never would have imagined how many doors would open because of baking chocolate chip cookies. Such a simple little thing. And yet, the doors that opened because of baking those chocolate chip cookies, because of walking my weird-looking dog. I love my dog. He's blind in one eye. He's a Catahoula leopard dog mix. He's a strange-looking dog. I love him to death. Some people think he looks terrifying. I think he's beautiful. But that's him. He's beautiful. He's my baby. But the doors that walking him around has opened has been incredible. And you know, I didn't understand why I was going to Estonia. I didn't understand why God had called us all the way over to Estonia. But that's the thing about God. When he calls, it's not up to us to understand. It's up to us to be obedient. Because being obedient does not require understanding. And when we don't understand and we try to make excuses instead, the only thing our excuses do is demonstrate an inability to trust God. As a church planter, I could have been a part of a church planting team a lot closer to home than Tallinn, Estonia. I didn't have to go all the way to this tiny country in the Baltic Sea. And yet, on the 24th of February, 2022, our church planting team, the 24th of February is Estonia's Independence Day. Our church planting team was at the Independence Day ceremony, sunrise flag raising ceremony, downtown Tallinn, when the news broke that the Russians had invaded Ukraine. And I cannot tell you the horror, the devastation that rippled through the crowd in that moment when news broke that the Russians had crossed the border into Ukraine. Of that moment of, this cannot be happening again. Surely this cannot be happening again. We cannot be living through this again. It was one of the most surreal moments of my life. I cannot express to you the emotion, the tears of what it felt like in that moment when people who had lived through that 50 years of Soviet occupation thought that they were going to have to live through it again. And it was just a few days later when I got a phone call. It was 11 o'clock on a Saturday night when I got the phone call that said, "Kirsten, you're literally the only missionary in our area that has any disaster response experience. Can you please go to Poland and help our missionaries with all of the refugees that are flooding into Poland?" And in that moment, it all made sense why God had brought me to Estonia. And so I packed up my dog and a few days worth of food for him and a few changes of clothes, and we drove to Poland and we started work. And from there, it was 18 months of working 15-hour days, 15, 18-hour days, 7 days a week. It was us and two other ladies that were about my mom's age. They were missionaries. They were both missionaries from Ukraine. Most of the other missionaries had been evacuated back to the U.S., and these two ladies, for their own reasons, had decided to stay in Poland and work with the missionaries, or work with the refugees that were flooding over the border. And so me and these two ladies formed our own team. And we opened a number of refugee centers along the Polish border. We worked at supporting a network of pastors in Eastern Ukraine who were trying to support there was a network of pastors in Eastern Ukraine that were trying to keep people in Eastern Ukraine, we were bringing food to them. We were trying to support a number of refugee centers for people who had to leave Eastern Ukraine, but didn't want to leave Ukraine. So we were trying to support a number of refugee centers in Western Ukraine. We were also trying to support, we had opened a number of refugee centers in Western Poland for people who had to leave Ukraine, but didn't want to leave Western Ukraine. They still wanted to, or Western Poland, they didn't want to leave too far from Ukraine. But then we also helped, we were working with a British charity called Love Bristol that was working with refugees who wanted to get their refugee visas to go to the United Kingdom. So then we also opened a refugee center in Katowice, Poland, specifically focused on the refugees who would be moving on to the UK. They knew their homes had been destroyed in Ukraine. They had nothing to do but to start over. And so then the biggest points of my time became managing a project to renovate a refugee center in Katowice, Poland that would be used for those refugees going to the United Kingdom. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus doesn't share anything about either man's life before or after the incident, yet he uses it as an example of how we should behave to the people around us, even to people as hated as our enemies. And in that refugee center, we provided a number of services. We helped people get registered with the Polish government so that they could have access to the Polish healthcare system, the education system. We offered English classes for those that would be moving to the United Kingdom. We did Bible studies every week. And in those Bible studies, the hardest topic that we covered, and we covered it regularly because it was the hardest topic to cover and because of our the number of people that were cycling through. As they would get their visas to go to the UK, they would leave and then new people would come in. And so it was a subject we talked about regularly, was the subject of forgiveness. How do you talk about forgiveness with people who've lost family members, who've lost their homes to the Russian aggression? How do you talk about forgiveness? And yet we knew it was important. Every day we're surrounded by people we don't know or people we don't understand, even people who may have hurt us. Hurt is real, and the healing process can be complicated, difficult, and very messy. And no doubt about that. But that does not negate our call to keep growing, to keep giving, and to keep serving the Lord through the people around us. And it's okay if we don't have the strength to do it on our own. We're not expected to. It's okay if we're scared. Of course we're scared. It often takes coming to the end of our resources to finally realize how much we should have been depending on God the whole time. We're not expected to do it on our own. And we're not expected to do it overnight, but we're expected to do it one step at a time. And we're expected to do it with God. We're expected to do it depending on God. There's been so many moments over the last 2 years when I've told God, God, if this is going to happen, you're going to have to do it because there is no way I'm going to be able to do this on my own. And you know what? He's done it. After my time in Poland finished, I thought, okay, God, what's next? I'd had Convoy of Hope come back to me a few times and say, we want you to work with us again. In the meantime, they had moved their headquarters from Belgium to Spain, and they said, we want you to come back. And I said, no, I want to go back to my church planting team in Estonia. I loved Estonia. I loved everything about Estonia. And I had been told by my leadership, there's no way. And I told Convoy of Hope, there's no way. And I told Convoy of Hope, you know, I'll come back. If this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens. And it was all things that I had been told. There's absolutely no way that that's going to happen. And so that was my excuse. I was like, all these things that I have been told, there's no way it was going to happen. It was my excuse to say no, because I really didn't want to come back. I wanted to go back to Estonia. And then in the matter of one afternoon, all of those approvals came through. And I was like, hey, that's not fair. Literally in the matter of one afternoon. And I was like, oh man, that means I actually have to go back. And yet, in the time that I've been back working with them, it really has been a blessing. And I've seen God's hand in it as well. Seeing how it's been a joy working with multiple groups of church planters again. Seeing how God has used even that experience that I've had working as a church planter in Estonia. The lessons that I've learned in Estonia, seeing how that has been able to translate in different countries in Europe, in different cultures in Europe, the ideas of asset-based community development, looking at what each culture has, the assets that people don't even recognize within themselves, the skills and abilities that they don't even think mean anything, matter, those chocolate chip cookie abilities that they would never have counted in themselves. And you can point them out and say, what about this? And they think, that's not going to do anything. And you can say, yes, it will. And then you can see how that ends up growing into something beautiful and see how God works through those things and opens doors for them. I love it. It's been so beautiful just in the short time that I've been back with Convoy. And I'm so excited to see how he continues to do that across Europe. So let me encourage you. You are valuable. You are a beloved child of God. And I promise that you have skills and abilities beyond what you see in yourself. Even if you need some encouragement to bring that out, step out in faith to try something new. Even if it's something that you never would have thought that anything could come from it before, call something out in someone around you that they might not recognize in themselves. Our salvation comes from a personal relationship in Jesus Christ, but oh, how we come to better understand his love for us when we look at others and ourselves through his eyes. And it's so easy to do that when we're calling out those things through each other, when we're recognizing those things in each other. When we can look at each other and say, you know what? I just love how good you are with kids. when someone like me never would have considered themselves someone who would ever work with kids. Or someone who would ever have a chocolate chip cookie ministry. Who would have never would have thought that baking chocolate, like, who would have thought that baking chocolate chip cookies would open more doors than a master's degree in Russian weapons of mass destruction arms control policy? Who would have thought? But each of us has things that we can give. Each of us can serve. Each of us has assets that we might take for granted, that we might not even think are valuable. And yet, to God, they are so valuable. And He gave them to us specifically for that reason. Don't ever sell yourself short. Don't ever sell that $5 that you may think won't do much. Don't ever sell that $5 that you can give towards a project. Don't ever sell that short. If $5 is a sacrifice to you, if $1 is a sacrifice to you, God will bless that. Don't ever sell yourself short. God sees your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you so much that every morning we get to wake up and make the decision to serve you better, that we get to make the decision every morning to be a part of what you're doing in our lives and around us in the community. We know that you love every person around us that we come in contact with every day. God, you love them just as much as you love us, that you know their names, you know their stories, you know their hurts, you know their backgrounds, you know their skills, you know their abilities, you know their blessings, God, you know the things that they're struggling with. Just as much as you know everything about us, God. You know things that we think we're hiding. You know things that we don't think much of in ourselves. There's nothing that we can hide from you, God. There's nothing that you don't love in us, God, because we know that there is nothing that we can ever do to make you love us more, and there is nothing that we can ever do to make you love us less, because you love us. And we are so grateful for that, God. And I just pray that you'll speak into our hearts. God, you'll move in our hearts to just show us what that something that we can do, God. That one way that we can serve, that we can give. That will challenge us, God, to grow greater in you. To take that step of faith. To allow you to move in our lives and in the community around us. Thank you, God, for what you've done through this church, through Simple Church so far. Thank you for the impact this church has had in the community so far. Thank you, Lord, for this building and the miracle that you've worked here so far. But we know this is just the beginning. We know that this is still the beginning stages, and we know that there is still so much left to be done. And we know that you're going to be with us every step of the way. Help us to take those steps with you. Thank you, God, for everything that you have done and everything that you're going to do. Give us the courage to step out in faith with you, Father. Be with us. Allow us to be like the Samaritan. Who may not have had the skills or abilities that the situation may, we thought the skills and abilities that may have, the situation may have called for, but who used what he had in that moment to do what he could. Thank you, Lord. Praise you and we thank you. May everything that we say and do bring glory to you, Father. In your name we pray.
Can we show her some love this morning? Let her know how thankful we are. Kirsten, thank you for your message this morning. Thank you for a life surrendered to Jesus. Thank you. Now, if you'll look underneath your seat, we've put some of Kirsten's cookies. They're underneath everybody's seats. They're there for you. Look, he just looked. He's like, he nearly broke himself getting up underneath his seat. Need to give me some of those cookies. We can change the whole community. That sounds life-changing to me. Well, I'm sorry if I broke any mood that is there, but I have one more moment of prayer that I'd like. So would you just bow your heads with me? Because there's people in this room that you need to make a decision that just like God sent Kirsten to Estonia and she made cookies, and that opened the door for her to meet some people and to share the love of Jesus. There's a whole bunch of people that were here in this building this morning that have surrendered their lives in similar ways. They made coffee. They prepped this room. They practiced and rehearsed music. They got the heat turned on and they prepped crafts for your kids. They did all of these things so that they could meet you. So that you would have an opportunity to hear about how much God loves you. And so that you'd have an opportunity, this opportunity right now, to open your heart to a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. And so if you're here today and that's what you want to do, and Aaron, I'm ready. I want to be part of a community that is living on mission. Aaron, I want to be part of a community that this is real for them. This is not some religious exercise. This is not some box that we check off to make ourselves feel good once a week. This is a lifestyle. This is a God that we are walking with because his spirit lives inside of us. We are all living on mission. You want to be part of that? You want to be part of something real, a relationship with God? I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And if that's what you're looking for, true Christianity, a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. I'm going to pray this prayer and you can join that family. But I'm just asking, with everybody's head bowed and everybody's eyes closed, if you're ready to make that commitment today, if you're ready to say, Aaron, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. I may not do it perfectly. That's not what God's after. He's after your honesty. He's after your yes. If you're ready, let's pray together. But I need to know that you're in the room. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Aaron, that's me today. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Go ahead and do that now. Hand up. Let's go. This is your moment. It's good. Now let's everybody pray together. Everybody pray out loud. And here's the words. Say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins and make me brand new. Fill me with your spirit. Show me how to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and meant it from the bottom of your heart, then I'm just telling you, the Bible says that when one person repents, there's a party. They celebrate in heaven. Simple Church, let's celebrate with those who said yes to Jesus today. Come on.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. We hope it has given you hope and helped you know God a little bit more. The goal of this podcast is to reach beyond our walls and connect with people far from God. If you'd like to join us in doing that, there are several ways for you to get involved. First, you can pray for us as a church. Prayer is our first response and our greatest resource. Pray for opportunities that we can boldly step into, make a difference in our community and around the world as we proclaim the good news of Jesus. Second, share this episode on your social media accounts and directly with your friends. It's easy to do through whatever platform you're currently using to listen to this message. Just click share and follow the prompts. Finally, you can support the mission through your generosity. The best part about this is that it's also an act of worship, where you express the priority of your love for God and others through your finances. Links to give are in the show notes, or simply visit www.mysimple.church/giving. We are so thankful you joined us today and hope you'll consider joining the mission of our church in some way. Thank you again, and we'll see you at next week's episode.